The Lenten journey and the call of Jesus is to follow him. Last week we talked about the thin places of life where we meet Jesus, where we follow him, and where we take up our cross. This week we follow Jesus into the temple and we observe some temple cleaning. As part of Lent, especially on Ash Wednesday, is a time of confession of our sins. We're not going to ask for personal confessions, but I'm going to confess. I think of myself as a clean person. I like a clean space. If you look at my office, you might disagree at times, but for the most part, I keep things straight. How many times as a child or even now have you heard the phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness? Not sure where we got that for sure, but someone said Charles Dickens. There was a theologian of years ago that some of you may remember. Her name was Irma Bombeck. She says cleanliness is not next to godliness. It is even the same neighborhood. She says no one's ever gotten a religious experience out of removing burned-on cheese from the grill of a toaster oven. If you have, we'll have a time for confession following the service. Truth be told, most of us could use a little encouragement in our own housekeeping, both literally and figuratively. We are in the midst of the sacred season that the church calls Lent. And it's just a time like Lent that we need to think about house cleaning. Whether it's a messy room, a cluttered car, a messy set of circumstances in your home, in the church, at work, at school. The time comes, or should surely come, when we need to put our things and our relationships in order. So the question, what about your space? The children's books written by Stan and Jan Bernstein, or Stein, have written this series of books about the Bernstein Bears. They're all wonderful lessons for young children about how Mama and Papa Bear and Brother Bear and Sister Bear encounter things like a bad dream or trouble at school or going to the dentist. The story of this particular book by the Bernstein Bears is the Bernstein Bears in the messy room. It's a lesson about house cleaning and how to help the child. The introduction kind of has a warning. When small bears forget to pick up and stash some of their favorite things, end up in the trash. The crisis in the story comes when Mama Bear gets fed up with the mess in Brother Bear and Sister Bear's room, and it's just too much for her to take. A synopsis for you this morning. Well, the mess just seemed to build up and build up until one day, maybe it was because Mama's back was a little stiff, or maybe it was stepping on Brother's airplane cement, or maybe she was just fed up with the messy room. But whatever it was, Mama Bear lost her temper. She stormed into the cub's room with a big box. The first thing we need to do is get rid of all this junk, she said. Brother and sister were watching in horror as Mama began to throw things into the box. Some of you may be sliding down in your seat, maybe feeling a bit uncomfortable, for you either are or you know someone who needs to confess that they do not keep their space too clean. And maybe, just maybe, you're the one who has felt the attack of a loved one or friend demanding of you to clean up your mess. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is angry and he is cleansing the temple. He's working on the mess that those around him have created. I'm sure either as a child or as an adult, we've all heard in our times at church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school about Jesus entering the temple and running out the money changers. We might have even confessed to ourselves that we are a bit uncomfortable because we are told that he was angry. I do not know about you, but I've always had this image of Jesus with a whip in hand, going from booth to booth, table to table, and literally turning over everything in sight, and in a stern and angry way, telling those who were present to get out, to clean up this mess. A note about John's gospel. John has this episode in Jesus' life and ministry happening at the first of his gospel. The other writers have it later, having it near the last week of Jesus' life. I think John's reasoning and others believe is that he is trying to prepare us in his gospel for who this Jesus really is, to understand the significance that he can have in our lives. And one of those is our messes. We are informed at the outset that it's almost time for the Passover celebration, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The temple officials have allowed the vendors to shopkeepers to bring their wares into the temple court and to set up for business. Roman coins were the typical money of that day and the only kind used in the city. But a Roman coin could not be used to pay the temple tax. One needed a shekel. So every time you went to the church, if you wanted to offer your money, you had to deal with one of those money changers and get your Roman coins translated into a shekel. If you wanted to offer a sacrifice, especially at Passover, then you needed an animal. If you had traveled from a great distance, you probably couldn't bring your animal with you, so you needed one for sacrifice. So here, set up in the temple court, are those, the money changers and those with animals, prepared to meet your ever need. Now you have that picture. Picture this. All kinds of animals running around in the temple court, lambs to pigeons, and who knows what else. Don't get downwind, you might just get a whiff of something else. Animal smells surely abound, but can you also hear the sounds? The animals surely are making sounds, and people are around bargaining for their purchase, the clanging of money. Lots of things are happening all around these tables. Not quite what you would call a sacred or worshipful moment, would you? And then what happens? Jesus enters the temple, and Jesus reacts. He even gets angry. He makes a whip. He begins to drive out the animals, overturning the tables, scattering the coins from the money changers. He is angry. We talked about being a follower. Not a good way to make friends and influence people. You don't learn this at a Dale Carnegie class or read it in a book about how to win friends and influence people. But however, I have no doubt that those who were present that day, the storekeepers to those who were shopping, to any within the temple court, knew that something was happening and they better get out of the way. What would you think if you were present that day? What would you think about this guy named Jesus that you probably had heard about? What about his anger? I can imagine that many who were present were in shock. And the officials were probably not only shocked, but they were angry themselves at this man from Galilee who was messing up their day. Jesus was literally turning over their tables. Jesus was turning their world upside down. Is that not what Jesus does in your life, in my life, in the life of the church? We must remember that in Jesus' day, you atoned for your sin and you were made right with God by sacrificing an animal at the altar. And there was a priest who was present to make sure it was done the right way. To sacrifice an animal at the altar was the most holy and intimate act a person could do in relation to God. They were simply changing their money. They were simply buying an animal to bring to make restitution for their sins of the day. But as you can see, this holy and precious act was being turned into a way of making profit, of disobeying the commandments of Moses, bringing corruption into the very temple of God, and it had to stop. It was a mess. It was a mess. Typical of John's gospel is also some irony. For Jesus speaks of the temple. They think he's speaking of the temple, whereas us, the reader and the hearer of his gospel, we know the end of the story. And we're able to see that Jesus is speaking figuratively of his body as the temple of God. And Jesus will ultimately triumph because of resurrection. So you see, I think that the cleansing of the temple, the mess, really shows us during this Lenten season and before Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, really who Jesus is. And that was probably the point of John writing it at the beginning of his gospel. So when it comes time to clean up the mess of our lives, who do you think we'll stand in front of? It seems to me that John is trying to remind us that we stand before not only a righteous and forgiving God, but also a demanding God. In only a short time, Jesus himself will suffer at the hands of a heavy whip against him. He'll be nailed to a cross. But in the end, because of his sacrificial act and death and resurrection, it will bring an end to the need for the temple and for a place of sacrifice. It was needed then to remind them of the mess that they were creating. What about us today? Just like the kids' rooms, the bears' rooms were messy, what about our spaces? Have you done any picking up or rearranging lately in your life? It is important. It is important to realize that there are different kinds of messes that require different kinds of housekeeping and rearranging. Surely there are physical messes, emotional messes, and yes, there are spiritual messes. All of these things have several things in common, but messes build up slowly over time. We didn't notice that there was a bit of dust there. We didn't notice those pile of papers were beginning to gradually build up. And oblivious to us, the mess is quite evident to others around us who love and care for us. Back to Brother and Sister Bear. Can you just not imagine that they were watching in horror as Mother Bear was going through their room and picking up their toys and threatening to discard everything that they loved and cared about? What do you think happened? Don't you think that Brother and Sister Bear got really busy? They got right in there and they began to race around to clean up the clutter to make everything look better for Mother Bear. Better that we do that now, that we begin to clean up the clutter in our lives, the clutter in the church, the mess in the church, in the community where we find ourselves. When do we start? We must start the cleanup now when there is still time, while we still have the energy and the resolve. For the longer we live with the mess, the easier it becomes to live with it. The longer that we live with it, the longer it impacts our lives, and often we become it instead of us ruling over it. Even the money changers that gathered there, it had become for them a regular thing, and they were forgetting to honor the customs and the needs of the temple. The longer we live with a mess, the more difficult it is to do the house cleaning. What do you think? What do you imagine? What do you visualize a spiritual house cleaning looks like or needs to look like in your life? Those gathered in the temple court were providing a service. They were meeting a need. They thought they were obeying the commandments. The service was needed by those worshipers who were coming to the temple. They wanted to be good churchgoers. They wanted to fulfill the necessary steps to serve their Lord and their temple and their community. What about us who call ourselves First Baptist? How often do you think we attend and give and serve because it is what is expected of us as worshipers and followers and even members of a church? Maybe the table that Jesus is turning over is my table. Maybe, just maybe, he's turning your table over. Do you think that maybe we too make Jesus mad? Do you think we make him angry? Have you thought about cleaning up your room lately? Let us pray. There are messes all around us. We may have created them. They may have already been there, but we live in and around them. God, we need you. We need Jesus to come in and turn over the tables, to maybe even get angry with us. But, oh God, may we respond. For you love us. You forgive us. You cleanse us. And even though you may get angry with us, your love abounds. Help us, God, as we clean up our messes, for we need your divine grace. Amen.